Hello, and welcome to Trusting After Trauma, Season 3, Transitioning to Transformation After Narcissistic Abuse. I'm your host, Pi Venus Winslow. Our focus this season is on making powerful decisions to create transformational life changes for those who have experienced childhood trauma and narcissistic abuse, so they can reclaim their happiness and personal power. Our speakers specialize in supporting others through their unique expertise and offer valuable insights, tools, and inspiration for viewers to find the courage and motivation to change their lives. I'm so excited to have Lucia Gabriella here with us today. Lucia Gabriella helps individuals and couples to master their life, relationships, and intimacy with themselves and others. Her passion is to create a safe and sacred space for women and men to deeply explore many aspects of themselves, purge emotional and/or sexual traumas that are holding them back from manifesting what they desire, heal their inner child, embrace their shadows, connect with their higher self, reconnect with their own body's wisdom, align with their true essence, live their higher potential, and master their sexual life in all realms. They can then create their life with awareness, maturity, self-responsibility, radical self-love, and full commitment to explore their sexual and spiritual evolution. Lucia specializes and works with individuals whose journey is to free themselves from emotional and sexual traumas and helps them to reclaim their creative power, body, voice, sensuality, and sexuality, plus to welcome pleasure into their lives, creations, and relationships. Welcome, Lucia. It's a pleasure to have you here today. I'm so glad you're joining us.
Thank you, Pi. I'm really honored to be here. It's really, I feel like what you're building to help other people that have gone through this trauma and also narcissistic behaviors is really important and is needed right now in society. So it's such an honor to be here with you.
Thank you. So can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to do the work that you're doing in the world?
Thank you. So to keep it short, I grew up in a home that it was, the emotional abuse, it was very dominant at home. And I became very aware of that at a very young age and didn't like it. I knew that it was something better. Like I knew that there are ways that we can be conscious and, you know, that it was something better, like it's something more meaningful than experiencing abuse, emotional abuse. And, you know, even when I was writing my bio, like years ago, I thought that I experienced like this toxic abuse at home until I was married to an individual that has very high narcissistic behaviors. And then I experienced the abuse, the emotional, psychological abuse, physical abuse, even sexual abuse from this individual. And unfortunately, I wouldn't say unfortunately, but you know, we had a child, my daughter. And when she was 3 years old, I saw my child at 3 years old, and I saw myself when I turned back and I look at it like, oh my God, my daughter was living the same life that I lived when I was a child. But this one was a little bit more interesting because there was some aspect of narcissism that I didn't experience at home, because it's different to, you know, now that I'm looking back, it was different to experience that emotional abuse, that second-handed, I call it, not directly to me, but like my mom, my dad, like abusive to each other emotionally, physically, and all that. So we got the secondhand abuse, put it this way, which it was very traumatizing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But being in a relationship with somebody that had these tendencies and these behaviors, it was really interesting for me to witness my daughter. That was different level of abuse, right? Like psychological abuse that many times we don't even think about. Like back in like our parents, they didn't even, that this whole thing about psychological abuse, narcissism, and gaslighting, it wasn't even recognized. And unfortunately, I can say that we are still in the journey where I am not experiencing, but my child has been experiencing from the father. So it has been a very interesting dynamic as a mentor and a coach to be able to help my child to navigate the narcissism abuse and emotional abuse that come from her father. Mm-hmm. So it has been a very interesting journey. So it's to go from like experiencing emotional abuse as a child, and then in being in a very toxic relationship with a partner, and then now witnessing it as a mother, like your child being exposed to it. And now it's about me like, okay, what can I do? How can I provide my child the tools for her to be in her power? And for her to, you know, she's 12 years old. She doesn't have the freedom and the liberation to say, I'm just going to walk out and that's it. Right. She doesn't have that yet, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And as a parent myself, it's like all the legal battles that we have, you know, it's like, so I am in it. So I know what it is. Mm-hmm. I know what it is to experience that emotional abuse, but also the whole aspect of narcissism and gaslighting and psychological abuse. Well, that's what I'm telling you. I am so honored to be here today. And I love one of the words that you mentioned in your description for this summit is the courage.
Yeah.
Because it's all about the courage. The courage for us to stand up for ourselves first before yeah. anything else. And many times we don't have that. And sometimes when we are in that toxic, abusive dynamic, we lose that courage because we don't have the support system. We don't have the people that we can reach out to. So I love this. And I love to be here with you. Thank you so much for creating this and for creating a community where people can come and support each other, because that's what's going to help us to move forward. We can share all this amazing wisdom and techniques and tools from all the mentors and speakers in this summit. But if the community doesn't come together and support each other, it's just going to go wash away. So thank you for the opportunity today.
Oh, thank you. And I can't agree more. It's like, you know, the thing about narcissistic abuse is that, you know, the narcissist will isolate, you know, their victim or the person that they're focusing on. And that's how they maintain control. So when the only person you have is narcissistic and gaslighting you and abusing you, it breaks you down, you know, emotionally, and makes you question your own reality. And, you know, so what you're saying about like having community and having other people, like really getting that reflection of like, am I crazy or is this really happening? Like, that's so important.
Yeah. And you have no idea how many times when I was in a marriage, like when my daughter was little, I was like, I was like, wait a minute, did I say that? Did I do that? Because the way that they come up, you know, he come up to me, I was like, I'm going crazy. I was one time crying because I was like, I think I'm going crazy. Like, did I say that? Did I do that? I don't remember. And I come from a background that I healed cancer at a very young age, at the age of 15, 16, when I was back home in Ecuador. So I have a lot of emotional training when it comes to observing myself, because for part of my healing process was emotional mastery and also energy mm-hmm. as part of my Gnostic teachings that I learned. And one of the things that I learned at a very young age for my healing process, it becomes the observer. That's where like I work a lot with my archetypes, because I work with the observer aspect of it. So for over 20 years, over 15 years by then, back then, like I had 15 to 20 years of training of observing myself. So somebody coming to me and tell me my reality was different, I was like shocked, because I was like, wait a minute, I've been observing myself for so long. I journal my observations every night. I look and I actually look myself from not even third observer to actually even see how my energy is doing, how my body's feeling, like getting back into my body, getting back into like different parts of myself, my shadows. And then somebody comes to me and like has this, the domineering power of changing my reality. It was really shocking to me. And I was crying because I said like, oh my God, I'm going psychotic. I'm going crazy. And it wasn't until I, you know, do more of the work. And you know, with this individual, you have to kind of like try, not even try, but you have to learn how to navigate and be at peace. And many times you had to be like quiet and you had to kind of like deem yourself. And sometimes it's an interesting dynamic to live with individuals like this. It's like, my heart goes to everyone that have experienced and live and are in relationship with a narcissist, mm-hmm. With narcissism dynamic and behaviors. And it's like, I just was so happy when I got out. Just like, freedom!
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, with any abusive situation, the most important thing to do is to remove yourself from the situation. However, it's like you said, if you grew up in a household where that was like the norm, then, you know, if you're not aware, like being in that observer that you talked about, and you can talk a little more into that, but like, if you're not aware, then you could just go right back into recreating that kind of relationship with an intimate partner.
Mm-hmm. We go into these Shackle syndrome, I believe so, where we kind of like idolize an abuser, mm-hmm. because we are not in connection with who we are and like our power. We and unfortunately, you know, we have not many times being exposed to what that looks like. Because sometimes we even come from like families where a mother or a father are like, they are the victims of abuse, and they are not even given their power. So many times the children, we don't even have an idea what that look like. What does that look like to be an integrative, empowered being? Mm-hmm. I feel like we're just starting to understand, like with the contrast that's been happening for the past couple of, maybe the last decade, the contrast in society with all the political, environmental, and all the stuff that's happening globally, it has been an incredible gift for all of us to actually look inward instead of outward, look inward and be like, who am I? What I'm here to create? What I'm here to experience? What it is possible in my life? Mm-hmm. And what is not okay?
Yeah, I agree. It's, you know, not knowing who you are can be, you know, I mean, that can be really scary. And a lot of people who've experienced narcissistic abuse, especially like throughout their childhood, they really, like, I know for me, I didn't know who I was. I thought I knew who I was, but when people would ask me more questions, like I really couldn't identify my own wants and needs. And so I was really lacking in intimacy with myself. So like, how do you support people in learning more about intimacy and, you know, people who struggle with intimacy with themselves and other people?
Well, one of the first things that I, you know, invite my client is to become aware of two things. To become aware of our body. You know, I'm all about somatic embodiment, all about like tapping into energy, tapping into like what is happening into our body at the moment that we're receiving information and the moment that we're giving, providing, or speaking, right? Like what is actually happening within myself? How my toes feel? How's my legs feel? That am I feeling like something in my lower back? Do I feel something in my upper chest? Like where are my hands? Like where's my body? And I am in my body. Like questioning myself is like, if I'm in my body right now or not, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's the first intimacy that we're going to experience. It's like with ourselves. And the reason why we struggle in intimate relationship is because we are not in our body. We're in our head. and our head is here, but it's not in our body. We are not in our heart. We're not in our chest. We're not in our belly. We're not in our leg. We're not in our body. So, you know, tantric practices, like even Ayurvedic practices or yogi practices, where I invite you to be in your body, are great practices. Breath, movement, sound, singing, dancing, even gardening, like being in your body. I love the garden. I just, you know, I was just doing my garden in a couple last week or 2 weeks ago. And it was just beautiful just to get my hands dirty, like, you know, with the earth and with the sand. And I saw a little cluster of like the worms, like just being themselves, like, and I was like, oh my God, it's so beautiful touching the soil and the worms and everything in it, like even the red ants and all that stuff, that they're just amazing, but it's beautiful. It's like what earth does, right? And be able to connect with our body and with earth. Mm-hmm. And have an appreciation and gratitude. That would be the second aspect of it. It's like embodiment of being here, being human. Yes, you know, many times when, if you follow me, you will hear me talking about that I'm an alien, right? And like, because we all are. We are infinite souls, have been in so many different galaxies, dimensions and planets. So we aliens living in this beautiful earth, and like we humans, right? Like, so I love to be able to embrace our humanity, our imperfection, you know, to embrace that our imperfect self, it is part of this universe, and the universe would not be the same without us. If you are not in this right now, in this moment here as a human being, the universe would not be perfect as it is. It would not be as it is. It would be incomplete. So having this level of awareness that we are more than enough, more than worthy and significant or anything, that we are part of this universe and that we are needed, that our experience itself is needed for the growth and evolution of the universe itself. The source, creator, God, whatever you believe on, is learning from us. It's learning from who we are and like our journey and our courage to discover who we are.
Yes. Oh, I love that. The courage to discover who we are. Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned tantric practices and you teach that to other people. Can you clarify what that is for people who might not know or who may have a misunderstanding about what it is?
Yes, and I love the word misunderstanding because many people come to me and they're like, ooh, I want this tantric session. And a lot of times they equal tantra equals sex, or tantra equals sexy massage, right?
Sexy massage, right.
Or I was like, well, I'm not that type of therapist or a facilitator that provide that service, because it is, when we talk about in tantra, when we talk about sex, it's a very small portion of it. And the reason why they amplify it is because one of those spiritual practices that includes sexuality and welcome and embrace it. And because we are sexual beings, our sexuality is our power as well. You know, when we talk about orgasm, even for readers, you know, if you have ever read the book, Think, Grow Rich, and Napoleon Hill talks about in chapter 6 or 9, talks about how to utilize orgasm as your center force energy to manifest what you desire, because the energy of orgasm, it gets directed into that intention and manifestation is happening. So we utilize what we call sex magic, right? Like if that is sex magic, utilizing your orgasmic energy to redirect, because energy follows thought, energy follows intention. So wherever your energy, wherever your thought is, your energy is gonna follow. So orgasm is like so amazing energy that it's powerful to direct that thought in there and create. So in tantric practices, for me, if you listen to any other mentor gurus out there, everybody's going to give you a different definition of it. Mm-hmm. For me, tantra is an alchemical fire journey. It's a chemical path of fire. For me, Tantra is allowing myself and giving myself permission to go into this volcano of fire and allow this volcano of fire to destroy and create everything that is not me. Mm-hmm. It's a path of fire that when we go into tantric practices, it's about purging, destroying, and creating what is not in alignment. And giving yourself permission to awaken, because many tantric teachers will talk about the awakening, the reclaiming, the burst of the spark and the burst of your energy, of your sexual energy, your kundalini energy, your chi, your whatever, you know, other names we call it for energy. It's like that awakening of that energy, of that creative energy. Mm-hmm. So we go, it's about purging, burning, destroying, and recreating and like reclaiming, awakening, sparkling. And that is a path of alchemy, transformation, and it's not for everyone. Because the moment that we saying yes to Tantra, the path of alchemy, you know, to discover who we are as like amazing, incredible creative beings and sexual beings, we're gonna go into journeys where they're gonna invite us to purge what is not serving us. And many times it's going to be, a lot of the time I would say it's going to be toxic relationship. Mm-hmm. And reclaiming ourselves and reclaiming our you know, authenticity and reclaiming our mindfulness, our mind, mm-hmm. our awareness, our wiser self, and walk from a place of like knowing within versus knowing out, like knowing from outside. We focus on like, okay, who am I here? Who am I today?
Yeah. Yeah. I got God bumps or whatever, you know, like when you were talking, because there were so many pieces that I was like, ooh, that. I love how you say giving yourself permission to do that. And it's true. It's like when we go through the journey, it's like if you're going to go on the journey, you got to be ready for the journey, because it means we've got to let go of the person we were to become the person that we are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a lot of times that means like, we've got to look at our attachments and like, let those things go.
Yes. And for me, that the path of Tantra is more than the aspect of alchemy, where we go from the cocoon to the butterfly. For me, it's more of that intensified alchemical journey and of the beetle. Mm. The Egyptian beetle. Have you ever seen like how the beetles are like the alchemy of their process? They have to be in the journey of metamorphosis twice.
Ooh.
Not just once, like the butterfly. It's the beetle twice. That's like one of my fascinations with Egypt and energetic Egyptian practices, of tantric practices for Egypt, is like tapping into the energy of the beetles. That is like it's like a transformation that is like beyond, because it go twice. It's like, it's a journey that you keep purging and growing and evolving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, it's great to say that the butterfly transformation, the beetle is real true alchemy, right? Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah.
And not for everyone. Like you said, it's like not for everyone. It is for those who are willing, able, and ready.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So I was looking at your website and all of the goodies that you have there. And there was something that you mentioned that I thought would be really interesting to talk about. And you teach people about the Golden Boundaries Blueprint. And I was wondering if you could share a little bit about that with us.
Thank you. So going to bring back the observer into the scene, and we talk with a different aspect. I work a lot with archetypes. And for us to be able to have a golden blueprint for boundaries, it's important to recognize all aspects of ourselves. This blueprint itself is a journey that is going to take us a couple months or even a couple years to actually even discover all of it. Because what's happening is we have different foundations. It comes from the foundation of recognizing who we are by our values, what it is that is important for us, what it is that we allow, what it is that we tolerate and we're not tolerate, and what are our standards, like what is our vision. So we start with who we are, what's my vision here, what I'm here for, what is my purpose, what turns me on, right? If we want to talk like the tantric language, would be like, what gets me wet? What turns me on, right? Like, what keeps my body and my soul so alive, so juicy? And then recognize what are values, because many times one of the things that we have not been, we didn't learn at a very young age is the power of the values, of our values, of personal values, of our creation values, our partnership values, like with our partners, with our fathers, with the mothers, with our community. What are our values? What do we stand up for? Mm-hmm. When we start recognizing those parts of ourselves, our vision and our values, we're going to have a better understanding of like what it is that we're not going to tolerate. And one of the things that we talk about when it comes to addressing and being in relationship with individuals who are in narcissistic behaviors is that they do not like boundaries. Mm-hmm. They hate boundaries. They become even more aggressive and abusive when you have boundaries and when you own your boundaries. One thing, Pi, is that there are many courses out there. Many people talk about boundaries all the time. I talk about owning your boundaries. I lead events where many times when we talk about and address boundaries, we talk about the power of no. No, may I touch you? No, may I hug you? No, may I poke your head? No. May I make love to you? No. May I give you $1 million? No. There's power in owning you. No. And one of the things, you know, looking at the dynamic of many individuals is that they are uncomfortable and afraid to own their no. So when we say like, may I touch you? No. Well, you already gave me the opportunity to manipulate you right there, right now, because you are not owning your no. Yeah. You're not owning, you're not embodying it. Mm-hmm. So working with individuals and working and being in relationship with narcissistic behaviors, we give them the opportunity. When we don't own our boundaries, we give them the opportunity to manipulate and to use that and to drive us even more crazy. Mm-hmm. So it's about owning our boundaries. So we have to recognize our values. And then also we have to recognize the different parts of ourselves. As the observer, as the magician, the king, the goddess, the boss, the queen, the priestess, the priest, the mom, the nurture mother, or the evil mother. Mm-hmm. As part of recognizing who we are, is also recognizing our shadows and our darkness. And I tell you, I'm a priest dark. I'm a dark priestess, which means I hold space for our darkness and our shadows. Mm-hmm. And there's so much power there. Because learning to recognize our teeth, our assassin, our slut, our whore, our prostitute, all those parts of ourselves that we consider as shadows because we want to put them on the side, we don't want to see them, but they're actually manipulating our life. And then the darkness is like, you know, sometimes like those dark parts of ourselves that we're really afraid of, mm-hmm. like it would be my assassin. But let me tell you this. I love and embrace all parts of myself and my darkness and my shadow. And God forbid somebody come and try to do any harm to my children. I am not going to count up to three and try to release my assassin. She will come out and she will just destroy because of the sake of my children. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go into like my beautiful loving priest and be like, oh, please don't harm my children. And that's the mistake I made at one point when dealing with my the narcissist father, it was that I didn't own my boundaries. I would say no, and they would just push and they just push, and I will break. I was like, and then I had to learn to love those dark parts of me, and recognize which part of me was very vulnerable and was very afraid, because the part of me that would break, it was were the part of me that were afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Afraid of owning myself, owning my power, that they still have this trauma, the wounded child was afraid. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so creating that blueprint of boundaries is a journey of so deep awareness and acceptance of who you are in your fullness. Because the moment that I recognize what are my triggers that can trigger it, I call it the red door. The trigger, if I recognize what is the value of the need that had not been met, that triggers opening the door for the evil witch or the evil mom, the one that will come out and like create like some kind of destruction and chaos, because the need and the value have not been honored and respected, it will come out. So if I don't recognize that, if I don't recognize my needs as part of my boundaries as well, too, recognizing my vision, my values, my needs, and my desires. If these four elements had not been fulfilled or had not been met in some way, I will have a trigger. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, when it comes to boundaries, if I don't recognize my triggers, I am not going to be able to put a boundary in place.
Mm-hmm.
It is an amazing journey. I can talk forever about it. I just hope that I gave you some goodness about this, that like how important to know who you are by recognizing your vision, who you are and your visions, what mm-hmm. it is that you're creating, your values, what do you stand for, what is important for you, your need, what are your need, emotional needs, physical needs, psychological need, and your desires. What it is that you desire in your life. When mm-hmm. we recognize all of this, we're going to be able to say, okay, where are my boundaries? Like what is okay and what's not okay in this four element?
Right, right. I love that. And, you know, and I'm just going to throw this in because it was something that I thought of while you were talking. It's like figuring out who you are and what you want and what you like and what you won't tolerate and stuff. I'm going to share something really embarrassing with you. I didn't realize until like much later in my life that it was okay for me to change my mind about things. Like it was like things that I said, like if I said today, like I never want to have chocolate ice cream again ever. I hate chocolate. And then like in 2 weeks, I'm like, well, actually I kind of do like chocolate, like, but I can never go back to saying I like chocolate because I said I didn't, you know what I mean?
I love that you're saying that. Thank you for sharing that, because it is really powerful for when we start recognizing who we are. It's one of the things that we become an awareness with our wiser self and all parts of ourselves, is that we are an evolution. We are an amazing, incredible, transformative being, changing every little second. I tell my partners, like even my partners, my intimate partners, my family, everyone, whoever is in relationship with me, my clients, everyone, I tell everyone, the woman that you meet today, it's not going to be the same that you meet tomorrow. Because today, let's say I'm leading an event, a red tent for women. I'm going to be shaking out. I'm getting ready. I'm putting my red. I'm putting my makeup. I'm getting ready. And there's going to be shift tonight. I can feel it. The energy. We have the pink moon, full moon. Like the energy is moving around. I know I'm going to be shedding shit tonight. Excuse my language. Tomorrow, I'm like sparking it up. I already know things are moving. I'm like, woohoo, more of me, please. So you want the juicier part of me? Wait until tomorrow.
yeah, I love that. I love that because you just kind of brought it back to that giving yourself permission, you know, giving yourself permission to change and evolve, giving yourself permission to change your mind. And what a freedom that is.
Yeah. One of the, I have a, one of my co-work program, it's called the Orgasmic Alchemy Program for all my clients. When they work with me one-on-one, it's like a whole series of exercises that we do that go in a program. And the first thing that they get is a journal. and journal it, I give myself permission to. Just that exercise, I get chills of it. Just that exercise, journaling yourself every day, why you give yourself permission to. I give myself permission to breathe. I give myself permission to love. I give myself permission to touch my body. I give myself permission to all my pussy. I give myself permission to all my sexuality. I give myself permission to breathe. I give myself permission to smell the flowers. I give myself, what do you give yourself permission to? Mm-hmm. And the exercise is about writing over 100, I give myself permission, the first time that you start working with me. And then in the every day, to start writing in 10 to 20, I give myself permission. It creates the energy as you can feel it. It's like the energy, when it comes about healing and releasing trauma, it's about shifting the energy that had been stuck and the memory that had been stuck in it. Mm-hmm. And when we had experienced trauma and abuse, especially when, you know, narcissistic behaviors come into place, it's because at one point we felt disempowered and powerless, that we didn't have permission, authority, or even we were nothing to have what we desire to have, to be what we desire to be. We were in controlling manipulation of another individual by their psychological tactic. Mm-hmm. So giving ourselves permission is the first aspect of reclamation of who we are. And I tell you, I have clients that many times that they cry over it, like, so, like, and I get the emails and they're like, you have no idea what it has this meant in my life. Like the opportunity, the possibilities that now I'm giving myself permission to is,
yeah,
incredible.
Absolutely. So beautiful. So Lucia, you have a free gift that you want to offer to our audience today. Will you tell us about that?
Yes. So this is we'll call the Clarity and Manifestation Call. Is it a 60-minute call? Sometimes I go out of 75 minutes, but I'm very generous that way. I know it's 60 minutes, 75 minutes. And we really explore what is happening, like what it is that is happening that is stopping you from being clear in your life and from manifest what it is that you truly desire. It doesn't matter if it's like a lover, money, abundance, a career, a doggy, it doesn't matter, a scooter, whatever that is. We're going to dive deep into like what it is, that clarity, what it is that is holding you back from that. And then like shake the energy, do some practices, tantric practices, shamanic practices, shake up that energy and get you into that alignment. So you can learn how to move your energy into your manifestation. So that is a call. It's a 60 to 75 minute call. The value itself is around like over $200 for that call. And you're going to have it free if you're part of this summit. The one thing that you have to do is you're going to go to my link. They're going to provide it to you. Mm-hmm. And then when you fill out the form, it's a form that you're going to have to fill out. So you're going to fill out the form. And where I ask you, how do you hear from me? You're going to reply, Pi Venus, the summit. And that way I know, and my team can send you, we can start scheduling your call, because if I send you to my booking calendar, it's not going to be there. So this is like a personalized approach, and my team will reach out to you and then we schedule your call. And I will be so honored and grateful to see you and to adore you and to celebrate you and celebrate your manifestation.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you, Lucia. That's so generous of you. So yes, make sure that you click on that free gift link and make sure that you mention that you found out about her Lucia's offer from this summit. So thank you so much for sharing your free gift with us and all of the wisdom that you shared today and you, your beautiful self.
Thank you, Pi. I appreciate you.
Thank you. And thank you everyone who is watching and who has joined us for Trusting After Trauma Season 3. We're going to continue to explore with our experts on how we can transition to transformation after narcissistic abuse and heal our body, mind, and spirit to live joyful, authentic lives. We'll see you soon.